Hello, everyone. My name is William Buletta with 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Today, I am at the 2024 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference with Aaron Beshear, who is running for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District of Pennsylvania. It's good to have you here, Aaron. Yeah.
Thank you, William, for having me. It is such an honor for me to be here.
Yes, awesome. So I just want to ask you a couple questions about how you found yourself in this position of running for office, some of your background and what you have experience with, and really what you're planning on doing by achieving this office.
Well, William, I believe that Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Yes. So regardless of what profession you are in, like where you're working, it doesn't matter what your role is.
Yeah.
But wherever you are, you have a basic possibility as a Christian to spread the light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I felt that when our country, when I'm looking at it, it's not on the right track.
Yes.
Yeah. If you look at our economy, you know, we are suffering. We got trillions of dollars debt as a U.S. government, and even our children and grandchildren owe that debt.
Yes.
All right. If you look at crimes, mm-hmm. if you look at the safety of our neighborhoods, mm-hmm. it's not an excellent condition that they are in right now. So our economy, look at the inflation, gas prices, grocery prices. People are suffering every single day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. People sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you look at the school system, especially in all the major metropolitan cities, which are controlled by the liberals, the school districts are not doing good at all. All right, so our kids are going wild because they don't have a sense of direction, right and wrong, because without God, there is no moral compass.
Yeah.
Without Ten Commandments, there is nothing that they can look up to.
Yes.
So this is what my background is, that as a Christian, when I'm looking at all that worst scenarios and worst condition and the darkness escalating and spreading in our cities and in our nation, then as a Christian, I cannot sit silent.
Exactly.
I cannot sit back. I need to play my role.
Yes.
So as an educator, as a businessman, as a leader,
mm-hmm.
my role is to make sure that I play my positive role
mm-hmm.
that must be played in this country to keep this country on the right track.
Exactly.
So the bottom line is the country's not on the right track. Every American is not happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
The borders are open. National security is a mess. There are wars. There's bloodshed. Okay, people are suffering. And the Bible says people perish when wicked people rule.
Mm-hmm.
But people prosper when the righteous people rule, when they make laws, when they make public policies. And obviously, for the last few decades,
mm-hmm.
the wicked people, the corrupt politicians, especially the far radical leftists,
mm-hmm.
they are controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
They have slowly and gradually started to take over. They took God away from our school system.
Mm-hmm.
They took Ten Commandments away from our institutions,
mm-hmm.
and the results are disastrous.
Apparently.
Kids are dying on the streets. There are a lot of shootings, especially in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are really, really important that we need to address. And as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and I'm probably the one and only one politician here in Philadelphia who is not ashamed of my faith as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it is a time that we bring God back in this country. It is a time that we put God first in this country. It is a time that we bring Ten Commandments back in the school system, especially in Philadelphia, to address the issues of violence, crimes. Okay? And I'm an educator. I used to teach at a school. Then I taught at community college as an adjunct professor. So I understand it very well. I have the experience. Okay? So what I can tell you, without God, there is no hope.
Yeah.
Without Christ, we don't have a way as a nation. And I'm proud to say that as a politician,
mm-hmm.
as a community activist, I will speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this country needs. This is what Philadelphia needs. And this is what we all need as Christians, as godly people, and as a society.
Indeed.
So this is what my background, this is what my faith is. That as a Christian, I'm looking at the things, our country's in crisis, and I'm trying to spread the light that Jesus taught me to spread. And that's all what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's a very just cause. And you're very blessed to have that opportunity and to be called to that, as we all are. But I just want to ask you a question regarding how you were talking about crime in Philadelphia. So you were talking about as well as the Ten Commandments as well, and getting that back into school so that there's a moral compass. So can you maybe like speak a little bit about like more of the policy side of what you plan to do to not necessarily crack down on crime, but make sure that it's mitigated and prevented?
Well, there are several steps that we can take. Mm-hmm. And again, it's going to be gradual transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they have messed up in decades, it's going to take some time to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing you need to do is change your direction. You have to take a U-turn from this insanity of gender confusion,
mm-hmm.
this insanity and nonsense of ungodliness, okay? We need to start from the basics. What our founding fathers believed in.
Mm-hmm.
They were strong men and women of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They wrote our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and their spirits are biblical.
Yes.
We need to get back to that. That is a step one for yep. policy-wise. So there needs to be faith-based concepts,
and
there needs to be spiritual revival,
mm-hmm.
and there needs to be Ten Commandments, I call them universal human values.
Yes.
They need to be brought back in the school system yes. to address the crimes. That is a step one.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, we need to address the two issues. Absence of fatherhood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we need to strengthen the family system.
Yes.
Right now, what's happening is a lot of kids who are really messed up in the school system mm-hmm. of Philadelphia, there is no father at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Family system is weakened.
Mm-hmm.
There are children raising themselves or their peers are raising them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is a basic problem.
Mm-hmm.
When there is no father at home,
mm-hmm.
the research shows that, you know, how dangerous it is,
mm-hmm.
the upbringing of children.
Yeah.
You know, that really gets affected,
mm-hmm.
right? Regardless of what these liberals tell us, the truth is, the children need both parents, all right?
Yes.
So that is the second thing I will incentivize,
mm-hmm.
I will try to focus on, and I will try to deregulate the government's over and outreach of, outreach of the family system.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of the government's job tell parents how to raise their children. That is a basic principle.
Mm.
So my policies will be around that concept. And DHS doesn't come out and arrest mom and dad in the name of saying you are abusing your children when you're trying to discipline your children. So from my perspective, I will definitely focus on deregulating those policies, those laws, on our level, especially on federal level, that discourage parents to discipline their children.
Mm-hmm.
That's also going to stop the crimes.
Yeah.
Because once the kids are being disciplined at home,
yeah.
they know that they will be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stop a lot of nonsense
mm-hmm.
that's happening on the streets.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let me summarize again.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing Ten Commandments back, making sure that, you know, we address the issues of absence of fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Letting parents discipline their children. And also the third thing is strengthening the family.
Yes.
The core family
mm-hmm.
where father and mother exists. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where neighbors know each other. You know, where children know that what they are doing, they are being watched by the neighbors, by the teachers, by the society. Okay? So those are my policies that I'll be focusing on, that I'll be pushing for,
okay.
that strengthens the family system, that brings God back in our school system. And above all, that gives more freedom to parents
mm-hmm.
to discipline their children without the fear of government reaching into their rooms, in the homes, and, you know, overreaching and outreaching
mm-hmm.
Parents' domain. So I will strengthen parents.
Okay, so it's just returning to the basics and founding of our country. That's what you're advocating
yeah.
for. Okay, that's great. So what if let's say a household, they have a father and a mother, and their father is out with his friends, and their mom is at home worrying about their siblings and can't really put that much attention on them. In that situation where, yes, you are giving them power to solve these problems and you want them to hold their children accountable, but What if the situation in the household makes it harder for them to hold their child accountable, even though it might be a family where there is a father that it is existent but isn't necessarily present? So in that situation, what would you say is a solution for
that? Well, that's a great, great question. And thank you for asking that question. I'm a father. So if someone tells me that the DH loves my children more than me, absolutely they're lying. If someone tells me that the government loves my children more than me and my wife, it's a lie. All right, so first of all, that is a concept where we need to start from. It is not other people's, especially the government's job, to tell parents how to raise their kids, okay? And also, I believe that we can provide a lot of resources starting from the school system and from the nonprofits, where there could be the classes, where there could be the workshops, and the rewards for attending the workshops and classes for anger management, okay, resolving conflict, you know, doing a budget for your family, okay, spending a quality time together, all right, and spending a time in prayer, all right, teaching you how to be responsible, how to be accountable, and also how to have a great time with your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that the family system where I come from, no one had to tell my mom how to raise us. There was always somebody. My mom knew that her kids were important to her. So there were always uncles and aunts around us when mom or dad wasn't available. So they knew that they have to raise the good kids. So what I'm saying is, the more government stop interfering with parents' business, the more responsibility they will take in. And right now, what people do have to lose? Everything is already a mess. Looking at Philadelphia, there were 562 homicides in 2021. There were 2021, I believe, 514 in 2021. And in 2023, there were like more than 400 homicides. There were like thousands of carjacking just last year. Wow. And before there, there were hundreds. They're like, according to the National Bureau of Statistics. So what I'm saying is, if you look at the data, we are already hitting the bottom on crisis side, on the family side, on the economy, inflation, okay, safety and security of our neighborhoods, schools, everything is a mess. Right now it is a time that instead of doing the social experimenting on the families and children, we let the families do what they're supposed to do, raise their children, raise them good, all right, give them vision, all right, teach them how to respect themselves, their neighbors, how to respect the society, how to respect the law. And it has to come from parents, teachers, from the school system. But if the government keeps telling the children to call 911 on their parents in their schools, if the DHS is going to make the parents willing for children, that is the basics where we need to start from. All right, and I do not endorse any abuse or, you know, torturing of children, and I believe no parent in their right mindset would ever do to their children.
Yeah.
But it's important that we go back to our basic foundational values. Let the family do what they're supposed to do. Be together, help each other, you know, stand together, pray together, all right, support each other without the interference of the government.
Okay, so you mentioned when we were talking before that you had an accounting background and you have experience with numbers and things like interest rates. So I just want to ask you, since you have experience with just numbers in general and how they work, looking at our debt and looking at the interest rates nowadays, do you have any solutions that would potentially make it easier for people living in your congressional district to be able to thrive?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking this question, because I love to answer that question. A wise person said that sometimes the simplest and the best solution is right in front of you, but you continue to ignore it.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, we need to stop borrowing as a government, as we the people need to stop borrowing that we cannot afford to pay back. All right? The government keeps outspending the taxpayers' money that we cannot afford. Why they keep raising the money, raising the taxes, and they keep sending it to those third world countries where most of that money is being used against us making more terrorists,
isn't it?
Who hate our way of freedom or ideology.
The Western.
We need to stop sending all that money to other countries,
mm-hmm.
because we are borrowing that money.
Exactly.
We are borrowing that money from China. We are borrowing that money from other stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
to pay for other people's expenses, okay? Which really don't make sense, because veterans are homeless here. People don't have health care here. People are dying here on the streets. People cannot afford the health care here. But, you know, they keep pushing for, you know, borrowing more and more money,
yeah.
from countries like China, and keep spending it on the ridiculous things that are not making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, U.S. government has more than $21 trillion debt.
Mm-hmm.
So every second, it's almost $100,000. Every single second, and it's not a minute, it's not an hour. We are like, you know, almost $100,000 interest. That's how much it is, because it's trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much it's being accumulated on our debt. All right? Every year, almost $1 trillion, we are just paying back in debt.
Mm-hmm.
These are the numbers, okay? Now, we are right now one of the worst nations. If we look at our debt, you know, that we have this ideology to keep borrowing and keep spending without any accountability.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, an average American, if you look at it, most of us, we are under debt because of the credit cards, our mortgages, our car loans. So most of us are under debt because the way government has set up the whole system, people cannot afford buying things on cash.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The interest rates are high right now. So the bottom line is, right now, our economy is in bad shape,
mm-hmm.
and the evidence is, when you're paying on the gas, when you're putting the gas in your tank,
yeah.
you feel that pain.
Mm-hmm.
When you're buying the groceries,
Jeez.
You're feeling that pain,
mm-hmm.
that your economy is not doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared, and I pray that, Lord, may I be really, really wrong on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep borrowing, at one point, things are going to catch up with us.
Yeah.
All right, and then we wouldn't be able to borrow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are going to stop buying our bonds.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be not able to afford raising money anymore. We'll not be like risk-free money anymore.
So what you're saying is it's unsustainable.
It'll collapse.
Right, yeah. So
our economy will collapse, and that means our U.S. dollar will collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Once our U.S. dollar collapses, then it will be around what happened in 1929, the Depression era,
mm-hmm.
when people were standing in lines, right, to just buy a loaf of bread,
mm-hmm.
and a gallon of milk,
mm-hmm.
right? People couldn't afford even that because people lost jobs, stock market crashed,
yeah.
you know, banks collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen again, because we are like right now 10 times worse situation,
mm-hmm.
what happened in 1929 era.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I'm saying the economy is in real bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
It is a time that the people understand that they need to come back to our Lord God humbly,
mm-hmm.
because the word of God says that if my people become humble and they repent from their sinful ways, I will restore their land. I will restore that nation.
Mm-hmm.
For too long, we have been deceived by satanic
mm-hmm.
and devilish ideological things.
And entity.
Okay, and as Christians, we have failed to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to pray in churches, but we don't take an action.
Mm-hmm.
Like Daniel, Esther, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like Nehemiah, we don't do the actual steps what they did. They just did not only pray, they went in the governments, they went to the kings. For example, Nehemiah, he went to the king with a sad face. He said, you know, how can I be happy when my city is burned down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where my forefathers' graves are,
mm-hmm.
if that city is burned down, how can I be happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the king granted him his wish, and he let him build the whole Jerusalem. So in other words, Nehemiah prayed, but he also took an action. He talked to king,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to build the whole city. But right now we continue to pray, but we don't talk to our legislators.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hold them accountable as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tell them that, you know, when you are promoting LGBTQ, you are offending us.
Mm-hmm.
when you are throwing this woke insanity on our children, we are getting offended.
Yeah, but
when you are taking God away from our school system, when you are creating ungodliness in the society, and when you are pushing for abominations and wickedness, we are offended.
Yeah.
We are not going to vote for you. And I challenge the pastors who are listening to this show, when are you going to wake up? What are you going to put on risk? Nehemiah put his neck in front of the king. He could have died because in those days there were no human rights. They could have killed him. They could have thought like he was doing a conspiracy to kill the king. His face was down, but he put his neck on the risk for the sake of his city, for the sake of his nation. What Christians are doing today? How many Christians will vote for me? How many pastors will allow me to come and speak in their churches? How many will take the risk to lose the tax-exempt status? How many of pastors, how many of Christians will invite a blunt politician, a strong Christian like me, to stand up and say, hey, we need God back in this country, we need God back in the government, we need God back in the school system. Sadly, William, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
I talk to pastors and churches, they say, Aaron Bashir, hey, we like everything, we line up with you. But when I say, you know, let me come and speak to your congregation because the country is going down the hill, it's going to be collapsing soon. They say, sorry, we cannot allow you to come and speak on our pulpit because you are a politician. We will lose our tax exempt.
So, I mean, Patrick Henry, for example, he gave this speech, give me liberty or give me death, on a church pulpit. It's not like it's not like as a country we have to abandon our founding principles. And I think that your cause is true to what you believe in. And I think that you have all the pieces here for a great campaign. And I appreciate you coming on. And I just want to add one more thing to what you were saying before. And you were saying that these LGBTQ ideologies, they offend us. But not only they offend us, they go against any moral semblance of value.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think that you're spot on with all of that. And I think that everything that you said here deserves to be heard by the masses. And yeah, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, William. And I do want to just share, if we have a few minutes.
Yeah.
Last time, FRC Action Committee, Political Action Committee, endorsed me in 2020 for my state rep campaign. And then the LGBTQ community started to attack me. Even our own Republicans, the Log Cabin chapter, they started to attack me and they wanted me to drop that endorsement. And I said, this is not happening. And I did not drop that endorsement, because I would rather lose with integrity than compromising my values and faiths.
Yeah.
You know, this is who I am. I lost the three races.
You're unapologetic.
But I'm not ashamed of that, because I believe I would rather lose with God than winning with Satan and devil. So if the Christians who are listening to me, I am Aaron Bashir. I'm running in Philadelphia in 2nd Congressional District. And it is a time that please vote for me. If you want the Ten Commandments back in the school system, if you want the violence to be stopped in the Philadelphia area, if you want the Kensington to be cleaned out from the drugs, okay, if you don't want to pay the gas prices that you're paying now, if you wanted to pay the lower prices for the groceries, I'm your guy. I'm Aaron Bashir. I'm not a politician. I'm a community leader. I'm your neighbor. And I'm sick and tired of what's going on in this country. So I believe this is the time that we use the common sense policies, common sense, to fix our problems. And as I said in the beginning, stop borrowing, stop spending the money that you cannot, you know, afford to have. And, you know, hold people accountable. As an accountant, as an analyst, I believe it is a time that we use the common sense. Where we're spending money, are those projects producing the results that we want? If we're spending millions of dollars in the school system, but the kids are not producing the results that we want, that means we need to maybe move more towards school choice system, the voucher system. Okay, so that kind of ideological system is very, very important that needs to be improved. So again, my website is bashirforcongress.com, BASHIRFOR Congress, bashirforcongress.com. And please vote for me. And I believe, don't only vote for me, I want you to talk to your church, spread the word to your family and friends. Because we have one hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And as a godly candidate, as a Christian candidate, I'm not ashamed of that message. If you could spread that word, if you could invite me to your church, if you could invite me to your congregation, this is all what I'm looking for. And just like Daniel, Esther, Nehemiah, be bold like David. Be bold about who you are. Take a stand for your God. Take a stand for your nation. That's all I encourage everyone to do it.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Aaron. And you guys heard it. Be unapologetic in what you believe in and stand up for your values.
Thank you for having me. God bless you, William. God bless America.